welcome to Ricky Jin's Old Time Radio. We have a cracker of a show for you tonight, gals and gents. Wash your black heads, grab a seat, and enjoy this episode of Dimension X, entitled Outer Limit.
Adventures in time and space, told in future tense. Dimension X. Can you predict what will come in 100 years, or in 10, or in the next minute? Some people think they can. Nuclear scientists, mathematicians, astronomers, biologists. They'll predict the shape of the future. Why? Because they make the future. Because they see beyond the known dimensions of time and space. Into the unknown. Dimension X. We go ahead now in time to 1965. We're on a vast concrete runway set in the desert of the Southwest. A giant metal ship stands before us, prow pointed for the stars. And in 5 minutes, the signal will flash and it will tear up through the atmosphere to the outer limit.
Attention. Attention. Clear field for takeoff. Clear field.
5 minutes, Steve.
For right. Takeoff.
Boiler up, Charlie.
And they're over.
I want to go over the procedure again, Steve.
Don't worry, I got it straight.
You just make sure.
Okay. I take her up on jets to 50,000, then I cut in the rockets.
No lower, or your tail blast will burn out 3 counties.
I climb 4 minutes on rockets, then start maneuver tests.
Remember that, no more than 4 minutes.
Right.
This ship isn't like those strato rockets you've been testing. She's the first one built for outer space. If she works, she can go clear to the moon.
If I'd have known that, I'd have brought my toothbrush.
Well, not this trip. Now get this, Steve. You've got power there to clear the Earth's gravitational field. But remember, after you cut in the rockets, you've only got 10 minutes fuel. If you go beyond the outer limit and don't save fuel for the return...
I know, I won't get down again.
That's right, Steve. You'll drift off into space. Get that now. 10 minutes fuel.
Gotcha.
As far as I'm concerned, this project is a lot more important than that cosmic ray bomb they're testing out in the Pacific tonight.
The Security Commission brass doesn't think so. I don't see any undersecretaries under anything.
Don't worry. In the long run, our ship will make the CR bomb back page stuff. But in the meantime, it's just as dangerous. Remember, half the principles in this ship are pure theory, Steve. Slide rule stuff. If anything goes wrong, we may have to scrape you off the landscape with a soup spoon.
You have a charming sense of humor.
Well, here's what I'm getting at. We're risking your neck in this test. If anything blows, we don't want to have the next man pull the same boner.
I know, Hank.
So keep your mic open and keep talking. If anything goes wrong, we want to know exactly why. And we won't be able to ask you. Let us know before you pull every switch. Before you do anything. You got that?
Yeah.
Even if you only have to blow your nose.
All right, get those fuel lines away.
Okay, Mr. Crow.
Well, I guess that's about all, Steve.
That reminds me. Look, if Mary calls, I'm just up on a milk run. I didn't tell her today was it.
How is she?
She's okay, but she's due about now, and I don't want her to be nervous.
Hey, I didn't know the baby was that close.
Yeah?
Steve, I really ought to be sending a single man on this job.
What, and cut me out of a soft paycheck? Forget it, Hank. You know you can't get anybody else who can take 15 G's acceleration when those rockets cut in.
Yeah, I know. It's time, Steve.
Yeah. Well, see you later. Don't worry, Hank. I'll sweat for both of us. Button her up, Charlie. So long, Hank.
So long. We'll give you the light from control.
X to war to control. Are you there yet, Hank?
Okay, Steve. Got you on the speaker. I'm ready to go.
Mr. Hanson.
Ready on radar, Sergeant?
Jack.
Mr. Hanson, you better see this.
What is it, Elsa?
Message center for Steve. Mrs. Weston just left for the hospital.
What? Hello, Steve.
Yeah.
Stand by a minute.
Shall we hold the takeoff, Mr. Hanson?
What? Oh, yes. No, wait just a minute. It's too late now.
You going to tell him?
Maybe he's got enough to worry about.
Hey, what's holding us up, Hank? Something on your mind?
No, no, it's nothing, Steve. I just wanted to say good luck. Clear for takeoff, Charlie?
Right.
Okay, give him the light. All right, Steve, I'm reading you clear.
I'm at 40,000. Airspeed 600. She's running fine. Soundproofing works. There's a third degree waver in the AGY pressure.
Got that, Charlie?
Check. Dead center on radar, Mr. Hanson.
50,000 now. Cutting out the port jet. Now the starboard. Off jets. Airspeed dropping. Opening the rocket ports. Switch sticks a little, Charlie. Oxy alcohol pressure 350. All right, now I'm advancing the ignition key. There goes rocket one.
Steve, you all right?
Yeah. Looks like somebody slugged me with a sledgehammer. Airspeed now 1200. Here goes number two.
Time is now 4 minutes. What's your altitude? Over to you.
Speed 4,400. Still climbing. Altitude 297 miles.
All right, you're at the outer limit. Level off for maneuver test. You've got exactly 6 minutes fuel left.
Okay. Starting a 3 degree left bank. It's a little sluggish. There, it's all right now. There's a low vibration someplace. Maybe the cockpit hatch. I'm straightening out.
5 minutes fuel left.
Now I'm starting a 3 degree run. Hey!
What's the matter? What's wrong?
There's something up here. Something shining.
What are you talking about?
There's something above me, Hank. I'm going to chase it.
Steve, you're at the outer limit now.
I can see it plain now.
Steve, don't go any higher. You've only got 4 minutes left. You've only got...
Getting static. I can't hear you, Hank. It's dead ahead now. I'm going to make a pass at it. Get a good look. Hey, it's swerving to meet me. It's dead ahead now. It's dead ahead.
Hello. Hello. Hello, Steve. Steve, come in.
9 minutes fuel gone.
Still no sign on radar.
Hello. Hello, Steve. Steve, what's happened? Charlie, get out the crash squad. Tell the Army squadron to alert their search planes.
Right.
9.5 minutes
crash
gone.
Hello. Hello, Steve. Squadron. What's happened? Where the devil is it?
Charlie,
hello.
For Mr. Hanson.
Come in, Steve.
We need a search squadron.
Come in.
No, Mr. Hanson's busy.
Hello. Hello, Steve. Hello, Steve.
10 minutes, Mr. Hanson. It's the end of this fuel.
How long has it been now?
10 hours, Mr. Hanson.
Nothing more on radar, Sergeant?
Screen's blank.
Colonel Corelli called in. Search planes are back. They didn't find anything.
Should be some trace.
He couldn't have bailed out, could he?
We don't hit the silk at 4,400 miles an hour. Either went past the outer limit, ran out of fuel. Something blew, and we'll find the pieces scattered from here to the coast. Why does it have to be the best man? Always the best man.
I'll get it, sir.
Charlie, yes, we've... You know, we've got to figure out what was wrong.
Yeah. All right, I'll tell him.
Something must have blown. Yeah?
There's a message from Northside Hospital for Steve.
Well, what is it?
Mrs. Weston's fine. It's a boy.
Thank you, Elsie. It's a boy, Charlie.
Oh.
Fine. It's a boy. He didn't even know she went to the hospital. How am I going to tell Mary that?
Wasn't your fault, Mr. Hanson? Ship had to be tested.
Yeah, we'll build another one, and some other flying fool will shoot past the outer limit into space. Oh, I'm getting old, Charlie. You can remember when I used to take them up myself. Now I've got to send other men.
It's a job, Mr. Hanson.
Now I'm afraid. Every time I hear a jet go off, I jump. Every time I have to send someone up in a new model, I start to sweat.
Mr. Hanson?
Yeah?
I think there's something on the radar.
No flights scheduled in, either, Elsie?
We have the whole day cleared.
It's coming in behind us. Here it comes over the building.
What crazy jockey is buzzing the field like that? Is that an army plane, Charlie?
I can't see.
It's turning.
Charlie, alert the field.
I know that engine.
Steve! That's impossible.
Look, that's his ship.
It can't be. Well,
there's no other model like that. It's Steve, all right.
It's coming in. Thank God. Thank God.
Quicker we get this done, the quicker you get over to see Mary and the baby.
Hank.
Elsie, give the order to check and refuel the rockets. I don't want anybody in here till I get Steve's reports. Bury any calls. All right, let's have it. What the devil happened?
Hank, does that cosmic ray bomb still go off tonight?
What are you talking about? Straighten out, Steve. Where you been for the last 10 hours?
Listen, Hank, there's something more important.
Come on. I've got to get a report on the screen to Washington, so let's have it. I've got to know how you stretched 10 minutes fuel to keep you in the air for 10 hours.
Now, one thing before I talk.
Look, Steve.
Have the Geiger men run over the ship before they refuel.
What'd you run into?
So help me, Hank. I don't know. We better check and make sure it isn't radioactive.
Elsie, add a Geiger report on the standard check. Steve, maybe we better have the doc look you over, too.
No, I'll be all right. They said I'd be all right.
They? Look, son, I know you've had a tough time, but we've had this field on the alert for 10 hours. One of the army boys cracked up looking for you, and he's hurt bad. So let's have the story. Let's have it straight.
I don't know how to tell you. Hank, I saw something up there.
At 300 miles?
I chased something up there, Hank, and I caught it.
Now, don't hand me that.
Listen, I was cruising along, just starting the right bank, when I spotted something. It must have been going about half my speed. It was egg-shaped and smooth. I made a pass at it, and I was coming back for another, and then there was a humming sound.
Humming?
A sort of vibration. And I blacked out. I was headed straight for it at 4,400 miles an hour. I thought it was going to be the biggest smash since Hiroshima, and I guess they were drinking that bottle.
Never mind that, Steve. What happened?
I came to inside their ship.
Uh-huh. Steve, this whole thing has been a devil of a strain on you. I'm going to call Major Donaldson from the Army base. Ask him to sit in.
Psychiatrist? Yeah, that's a good idea. Let him run his test. He'll tell you I'm not kidding. Because, Hank, unless I miss my guess, I've just been tipped off to the way the world ends.
Right, Mr. Weston, suppose you continue your story.
Yes, let's have it, Steve. You woke up inside the ship?
Yes, and the place was jammed with machinery. Dials, blinkers. I couldn't recognize anything.
And you were surrounded by these men from Mars?
I didn't say anything about men from Mars. I didn't even say they were men. I couldn't see them clearly. They were just there.
Where did they come from, then?
Another galaxy. Millions of miles outside of our solar system. That's all I know. You figure out where they came from.
And they came all that distance to find the Earth?
Yes.
Did they tell you that?
Yes.
You mean they spoke English to you?
No, they didn't. It's funny. I hadn't thought. They didn't really speak to me at all. They just planted the thoughts in my mind.
You mean thought transference, telepathy?
Yes, that's right.
Well, Steve, what brought them here?
We did, Hank. We rang their bell. We brought them in.
How?
With our atomic explosions. Hank, that's why you've got to stop that bomb test tonight.
I'll give up.
Look, you've got to believe me, Hank. Oh, how can I make you understand?
Maybe I can help, Mr. West. Would you submit to narcopsychometry?
What's that?
Under proper drugs, I can put you back in this, ship. By suggestion. Then we can get a playback record of your memory pattern on the audio circuit.
How long will that take?
Half an hour. We'll have to go over to the lab.
Will you believe me if it checks?
It will give us an accurate memory picture of what your mind reports.
All right, let's go. Hank, you gotta believe me, we haven't got much time.
You should be getting drowsy now. Count backwards from 10.
9, 8, 7, 6, 6.
He's under.
Now we attach the head plate electrodes. Cortical pickup. Look out for that wire, Mr. Henson.
3-0 setting. 31.3.
I'll throw that switch, Mr. Henson. I have to start him off by suggestion.
All right, Steve. You're in your ship now. You're in the rocket.
Rocket?
You're in the rocket. You're in the rocket, and you've just sighted something strange.
Now I'm starting at 3 degrees right.
What's that?
Hey, there's something up here. Something shining.
His memory pattern. They're picking it up electronically.
There's something above me, Hank. I'm going to chase it.
It's piped through the audio circuits.
I'm getting static. I can't hear you, Hank.
This is where we lost contact with him.
I'm going to make a pass at it. Hey, it's swerving to meet me. It's dead ahead now. It's dead ahead.
No, but
this is where he blacked out. There's no telling how long, minutes or hours.
What's that noise?
I don't know, quiet.
Where? How did I get in here? What? Who are you?
Is he seeing things?
Intergalactic Patrol? What's that?
What are they saying, Steve? What are they saying?
It's about nuclear fission. They know about it. They know the danger of it. Long ago, they had wars that almost destroyed them. But finally, they learned. Now they've outlawed war.
Go on, Steve.
They patrol space. When their detector picks up an atomic explosion, they send a patrol.
What are they going to do?
They've quarantined us.
Quarantined?
They've isolated the Earth. Because we don't know how to control ourselves yet. Until we learn, will be a menace to the whole universe.
What is this nonsense?
Quiet. How are they going to do it, Steve?
They've spread a layer out here of, I don't know how to call it, all around the Earth. It's miles deep. When there's an atomic explosion on Earth, the radioactive particles will drift up to this layer and set off a chain reaction. We'll go around the world in microseconds. And that's the end.
The end? What's he...
Wait.
Yes? Yes, I understand. I've got to bring back the warning. You're going to put me back in my ship to bring the warning.
Now what?
Blacked out again. I guess that's all.
What does all that mean?
It's what he remembers.
You don't think that really happened?
No. Nauka's psychometry circuits produce what he remembers. It just means that Steve believes this happened.
I don't like to see this. I've seen too many tough pilots snap. Steve is the best I've known. How bad do you think he is?
Frankly, outside of the presence of this well-organized hallucination, there's no sign of unbalance. May not be too serious. If he had a more plausible story, I'd be inclined to believe him.
Why? Hank.
It's all right, boy.
Did you hear it, Hank? You understand?
Sure. We've been quarantined.
Let me give you something to make you sleep, Steve.
Don't you understand? They fixed it so that if we set off one more nuclear explosion, that'll be it.
Of course. Don't roll your sleeve down.
You don't believe me.
Now, take it easy, Steve.
If it tests tonight, they're setting off the CR bomb. Hank, what time is it?
11:20.
Well, it's scheduled for midnight. Hank, we
got to stop that bomb.
Steve, let Donaldson give you the hypo.
Hank, you've got to believe me. I saw them. I got the warning. If we touch off that bomb tonight, it'll be the biggest galactic 4th of July of all time. The whole Earth will go up like a Roman candle. April 10th, 1965, the end.
Now, look, Steve, you better calm down. Don't you want to see Mary and the baby? You've got a new son, remember?
Yeah, that's just it, Hank. I want to see my son. I want him to live. If that bomb goes off, Hank, we've got to stop them.
Mr. Hanson, I think we'd better get over to the base hospital.
Hank, you've got to believe
me. Yeah, sure, Steve. Maybe there is something to it. Look, it's out of your hands. I'll put it in a report and shove it into Washington in the morning.
In the morning? There isn't going to be any morning, Hank. Don't you understand? You've got to call Washington now. Get the head of the security commission and postpone that test.
Now, you know I can't do that, Steve. My neck would be out a mile. Besides, this is 1965, not 45. 20 countries have atomic bombs now. What's the use of stopping just this one? The rest will keep right on popping them.
Well, we'll have to call an international conference. Can't you understand, Hank? The first one that goes off finishes us at the end. They've given us the quarantine warning.
Steve, I think you'd better go with us to the base hospital.
Look, Steve, we can call up for a detail if we have to.
All right. I'll go with you. You don't need a straitjacket.
That's the way, Steve. You'll probably feel better by morning. Let's go.
Well, Steve, tomorrow I'll drive you over to the hospital to see Mary and the kid.
Sure.
Look at the ship under the floodlights. Pretty, huh? You'll be flying her again soon, don't you worry.
Yeah, I guess so. What's she doing out in the line? The refueler?
Yeah, we got Clausewitz coming in tomorrow from Denver for another test. Figure we give you a day off.
That's good. That's fine.
Steve, come back. Come on, Donaldson. Steve, wait.
He's heading for the rocket. Look, there he goes up.
That crazy fool. You can't get at him now. That covers armor glass.
He's waving.
Yeah, towards control. It's the radio. He needs the radio. Come on.
I should have gotten help.
Well, the radio's still hooked up here. Hello. Hello, Steve.
Listen to me, Hank. You gotta call Washington now.
Come out of that rocket, Steve.
I'll call my men.
Don't try anything, Hank. They refueled the rocket for tomorrow.
Take it easy, Steve.
Listen, you know what'll happen when I fire the rocket tubes down here?
Steve, don't.
It'll burn out every building for 5 miles. All of us in one big blast.
Steve, what do you want?
You've got to stop that bomb. You've got to call Washington right now.
They won't believe me.
You make that call or I cut in the rocket. Now, I mean it, Hank. Now, hook my screen to yours in parallel. I want to see exactly what you're doing.
All right. Just don't fire those rockets.
Get going, Hank. You've got 12 minutes to make that call and stop that bomb.
All right, I'm making the parallel hookup right now. Donaldson, you think he'll really blast?
I don't know. Up to now, I'd almost say he was normal, but now he's liable to do anything, Hanson.
Steve, there, you're getting it on your screen?
Yeah. I'll put that call through.
All right.
Operator.
Visit screen to Washington.
The visit screen circuits are busy, sir. You'll try again in half an hour.
This is Security Commission priority. Break in, get me a line.
Yes, sir. Just a moment, please.
10 minutes, Hank.
Listen, Steve, I'm trying.
Ready to take your call, sir.
Washington, Security Commission 3, this is urgent. I want Undersecretary Herbert Ames.
Washington 3. One moment, please.
Hurry, will you?
One moment, please.
What time is it, Donaldson?
11:51.
Do you think he'll fire those rockets?
He might.
Washington?
Visit screen 3. Mr. Herbert Ames, please.
That is a coded exchange. I cannot accept your call without clearance.
Get it through, Hank.
Listen, Washington, put it through. This is Mr. Hanson at San Marco Air Base. This is a priority call. I'm coded.
One moment, please. I will check your code number.
Get that through, Hank, or that bomb goes off at 12.
Will you be reasonable, Steve?
Your call has cleared, San Marco. Washington, visit screen 3. Herbert Ames, please.
Security Commission Ames.
Listen, Ames.
Oh, hello, Hank.
Ames, you've got to get me to the chief.
Are you kidding? He's at the test control room.
Yes, I know, but get him for me.
What's up? You look lousy. Or is it a bad circuit?
There's no time. I've got to get him before the test. It's about the CR bomb.
I can't take that responsibility.
Get that through, Hank, or I blast.
Hey, what's going on there?
Ames, my project has a high enough rating. This is a priority A call.
What? Okay, it's your neck. I'll try to get him for you. He's in the control room, so you'll have to switch off your screen and speaker and go on earphones. Too much going on in there. Security ruling.
You hear that, Steve? I've got to cut the incoming screen.
All right. But don't try anything. 8 minutes, Hank.
Hello? What?
You got him, Hank?
Yes. This is Hanson at San Marco. No, sir. Priority A request to cancel the bomb test. No, no. I'm serious. This is deadly serious. We sent the X-2 JTR up today to the outer limit. We uncovered evidence. Yes, on the automatic instruments. What's that? No possible chain reaction. No, I can't tell you the whole story. There isn't time here. Yes, yes. I'll bring the readings into Washington in the morning. You've got to postpone the test till you see them. Look, I've worked on contracts with the commission for 10 years. Yes, yes, I have complete confidence in my information. You can record that. All right, I'll call you back immediately. Bye.
Hank? Hank?
He's agreed to cancel, Steve. The bomb won't go off. All right, boy. You can come down out of that ship.
He's opening up. Here he comes.
All right, Steve. Come on down.
Sure, Hank. Just a second.
Hank, I was scared. I was plain scared.
Easy now. It's all over. The bomb won't go off.
Thank God. Look, I want to see Mary and the baby. You get me transportation now?
Oh, wait a minute. It's almost 12. They won't let you in the hospital now.
I want to see the baby.
Sure you do, but you've been under a strain. I've got a shot for you here, Steve. Give you a good night's sleep. All right. Roll up your sleeve.
Yeah, here.
There, that'll make you sleep. Sergeant will find you a bed.
Yes, sir. Come on, Mr. Weston.
Okay. Good night, Hank. I'm kind of beat. It's been a tough night.
It sure has. I thought for a minute he was going to blast those rockets and send us all to Kingdom Come.
Yeah.
Quite a stunt, getting the ray bomb test called off.
It isn't called off.
But the chief said...
Ames couldn't get the chief. I was talking to a dead circuit. Bomb goes off in a couple of minutes.
Oh. Poor Steve. He's one of the best.
He was the best. 1 in 10 million.
Some story of his, poor guy. For a while, he almost had me believing in that quarantine. That's a very common delusion. End of the world.
Yeah. I suppose so. Ah, it's a nice night. Never saw the stars so bright.
We better be getting in. That wind is cold.
Well, the bomb goes off in 30 seconds. Poor Steve.
You know, Hanson, there's just one thing.
Yeah?
It's outside my field, but I'm curious. How did he keep that ship in the air for 10 hours with only 10 minutes fuel?
You have just heard The Outer Limit by Graham Doerr, an adventure in time, space, and the unknown Dimension X. Now, about next week. Have you ever heard of the Mark III? The amazing electronic brain at Harvard that instantly solves the most complicated scientific problems. Suppose you had a mechanical brain like that in your house. A robot that was always at your service, so that you could just sit with folded hands and relax the rest of your life. That would be nice, wouldn't it? Perfect. That's what they thought when it happened in the year 2006. But they were wrong. Terribly wrong. How? I'll tell you next week. Tonight's story, transcribed on Dimension X, The Outer Limit by Graham Doerr, was adapted for radio by Ernest Canoy. Featured in the cast were Joseph Julian as Steve, Wendell Holmes as Hank, and Joe DeSantis as Major Donaldson. Your host is Norman Rose. Music was by Albert Berman. Sound designed by Sam Monroe. Edward King directed.
Tomorrow, here's Sam Spade. Now it's Truth or Consequences on NBC.
Why do those kids need cars? Welcome back to Ricky Jin's Old Time Radio. Now enjoy this episode of You Bet Your Life, entitled Share.
Ladies and gentlemen, keep this under your hat. The secret word tonight is chair, C-H-A-I-R.
Really?
You bet your life! Elgin American, creators of America's most beautiful compacts, smartest cigarette cases, finest dresser sets, presents Groucho Marx in the Elgin American show, You Bet Your Life. The comedy quiz series produced and transcribed from Hollywood. And here's that sterling Elgin American, the one, the only...
Groucho!
Is he back again?
Oh, that's me, Groucho Marx!
Thank you. Well, here I am again. Happy to report we're starting our third season for the same sponsor, Elgin American Compacts. I've saved my money all summer, and tonight we have $1,000 for one of our couples. George Fannerman, who's first to try for us?
Just before we went on the air, our studio audience selected a pair of newlyweds, and here they are, Mr. and Mrs. Roland Carr, meet Groucho Marx.
Welcome, youngsters, to You Bet Your Life. Need to say the secret word at any time we're talking, you'll win $100 in cash. It's a common word, something you'll find around the house. Newlyweds, eh? How newlywed are you, eh?
July 31st.
I was talking to your husband, Roland, does she always answer for you?
No, I don't always.
Gene Carr, don't you ever let him say anything? Where'd you get him, in front of a cigar store?
No.
Chatterbox, that's you, Roland. How old are you?
I'm 31.
And what's your age, Gene?
30.
And where are you from?
Jamestown, North Dakota.
Roland, what's your home place?
New York City.
Live in different towns, eh? Well, when you each go back home, I hope you'll be writing to each other. What kind of work do you do, Roland?
I work in a bank.
You work in a bank, eh? And judging who's been doing the talking, your wife must be the teller. Just what do you do in the bank?
Well, I'm the operations officer.
You operate in the bank? Have you got your knife with you? Now, I've always envied you people who work in banks. You have such a short day. What do you do after 3 o'clock, Roland?
Well, after the bank is closed, when we do our hardest work.
I see, Is the president of the bank aware of this?
Well, he works after the bank is closed, too.
Oh, you're all in cahoots. Well, that's one way for a young bridegroom to put away a lot of money. Work nights in a bank. Gene, how did you meet this old banker here? Huh?
I used to work in the same bank.
After hours or during the regular hours? Now, since you're newlyweds, we have some appropriate wedding gifts from our sponsor. George?
For Gene, Elgin American's beautiful dresser set in jeweler's bronze with a look of gold. And isn't that engraved floral design lovely, Gene?
Oh, that's lovely. Thank you very much.
And, Roland, we'd like you to have this slim, sleek, sterling silver cigarette case by Elgin American, handsomely engraved.
That's very swell.
Where did you two kids go on your honeymoon?
We went to San Francisco and Lake Tahoe.
Mm-hmm. That's an ideal honeymoon. Which one of you went to Frisco, huh? Now, Gene, how many of your old boyfriends have you seen since you've been married?
I haven't seen a single one.
Just the married ones, eh? Yeah. Remember, that, Rollin. You see how easy it is to trap your wife? Gene, can you honestly say that marriage is as perfect as you'd always dreamed?
Well, no. We have a few little problems.
Small problems? What are their names, eh? Do you plan on having a family, Rollin?
Yes, we do.
About how many?
Oh, about two.
Well, you know, being a banker, you know you're going to have to consult the other stockholder, huh? Before you can declare dividends. Now, Gene, do you think Rollin will make a good father?
Yes, he will.
Well, why are you so certain?
Children like him, and he's very gentle and understanding with them.
You anything to add to that, Rollin? Huh?
No, I don't have anything to that.
Just going to stand there and simper, huh? Now, as a recent Benedict, what are some of the advantages of married life?
Well, it shows a man the right direction in which to go.
You mean she's already told you where to go? Well, you make a charming and a very amiable couple, and I know you'll make wonderful parents. Now, in just 1 minute, you're going to work together for $1,000. Fenneman, you've had a whole summer to practice what you're going to say. Speak your piece.
Young Mrs. Chesser went to her dresser to fix up her hair real pretty. When she got there, the dresser was bare.
What? No Elgin American dresser set?
No. What a pity. But she rushed right down to her favorite store and bought the smartest dresser set they had. What kind was it? Naturally. Elgin American dresser sets are exquisitely designed. Have jewel-like finish, precision craftsmanship throughout. Have nylon bristles, specially ground mirrors. They're the most fashionable decorator touch you could give a bedroom. They look like $1 million, but cost as little as $14.95. And if you're extra thrifty, there's Elgin American's companion line of American Beauty dresser sets that start at only $7.95. Here's the big, impressive gift to thrill anyone. And don't let your dresser, your guest room, go bare another day. Tomorrow, buy these values you'll value for years. Dresser sets by Elgin American.
Now, let's see if you two will get a chance at the $1,000 question. You're going to play You Bet Your Life. Fenneman, bring them up to date on the rules.
Each of our three couples has $20. They bet as much of that $20 as they want on each of four questions. The couple that earns the most money gets a chance at the $1,000 question at the end of the program. Our other two couples are in a waiting room off stage, so they don't know what's happening out here.
Here we go. Let's see how high I can build you $20. What question category did you select?
We picked songs.
Songs from recent Broadway musicals? Yeah. Here's your first question. How much will you bet?
$10.
All right. This song is from South Pacific. Give me the title of it.
Valley High.
Valley High is right.
And they're on their way, Groucho. They have $30.
Remember, you're going for $1,000 tonight. How much of your $30 will you try now?
We'll bet $20.
Let's see if you can identify this tune from Kiss Me, Kate. Play, Jerry.
I'm always true to you, darling.
Always true to you, darling, in my fashion.
They're really on their way. They have $50.
That shows he's a groom. Now, here's your third question. How much of the $50 are you going to risk?
We're about 35.
Here's another song from South Pacific. What's the title of it?
Some Enchanted Evening.
They're really climbing now. They have $85.
You have now climbed the Mount McKinley of $85, and there's your last chance to beat the other couple. How much are you going to try?
We'll bet $70.
$70. Ethel Maimon sang this song, and Annie, Get Your Gun. What's the name of it?
There's no business like
show
business.
No business like show business is right.
And they wind up with a grand total of $155.
Thanks and good luck from Elgin American Compact. Stick around now. You might still get the crack at the big question.
Groucho, our next couple has been in a waiting room off stage. Perhaps they'll say the secret word. It's chair. We invited some wrestlers and some librarians for the show tonight. And just before we went on the air, our studio audience selected librarian Mary Horan and wrestler Terry McGinnis. And here they come. Folks, meet Groucho Marx.
Welcome, folks. We're Elgin American Compacts. And if you say the secret word at any time we're talking, I'll fork over $100 in cash. It's a common word, something you'll find around the house. The wrestler and the librarian, eh? Miss Mary Horan, at which library do you work?
The Central Library, the Los Angeles Public Library.
Mm-hmm. And how's business there? Quiet?
Yes, very quiet.
A little joke I bet you always use when somebody asks you how's business.
Oh, yes.
How's business?
Very quiet.
Very good. I thought maybe things were humming since you do a volume business. Bone Crusher, Terry McGinnis, huh? Are you married?
Yes, sir.
How'd you meet your wife? Did you go up to her to dance and say, may I have the next half, Nelson?
Brasho, I met her in Australia.
And what were you doing there?
I was there wrestling.
What, a kangaroo?
I have wrestled a kangaroo.
Have you? Isn't it difficult to wrestle a kangaroo? How do you talk business before the match, huh?
That we don't do, Grasso.
You're the kangaroo. Huh? You can't strike me. I'm sitting down. You know. Besides that, I'm an elderly man and I wear glasses. Huh? Librarian, you've been very quiet. Where do you think you are, in the public library? How's business?
Very slow.
Very slow. Well, it's changing. It was a little quiet a while ago. Now, Mary, how did you happen to become a librarian? Did you start out as a bookie? Say, you're a pretty good-looking gal to be working in the library. I never know they had girls like that. Are you married, Mary?
No, I'm not.
No, yeah. You're a circulating librarian? What kind of a man are you looking for, Mary?
Oh, a nice, quiet, companionable sort of person who's well-read and likes good cultural things and good-looking and about 6 feet.
You don't want a man. You want Dr. Elliot's 6 foot shelf, huh? Now, wrestler, McGinnis, haven't you got a ring name like Gorgeous Sam or the Blimp or Derriere Dan or something, huh?
No.
What do they call you in the ring? And remember, we're on the radio.
They call me Irish Terry McGinnis.
They call you Irish Terry McGinnis? What part of Romania do you hail from, huh? Now, Miss Horan, let's get back to you. It's much safer. Now, there's a big article about me in the October Radio Mirror magazine. Suppose I breeze down to your library next Sunday afternoon. Would you help me find the magazine?
No, I wouldn't.
Well, that's not very cooperative. Why not?
Well, the public library is not open on Sunday.
Well, I'll be bound, huh? How's business, then?
Very quiet.
Very quiet. Well, you're holding your own, anyhow. Miss Horan, as a librarian, do you like to wrestle?
I never have wrestled.
Well, maybe that's why you're not married, huh? Well, Miss Horan, here's something I know you'll fall in love with instantly. George, tell her about it.
Well, it's a luxurious sterling silver compact by Elgin American. It's hand engraved with a 14-karat gold picture frame border. How do you like it, Miss Horan?
Very beautiful.
And for our wrestler, something his wife will thoroughly appreciate. A sterling silver compact just like it by Elgin American.
I know she'll love it.
Now tell me, glamorous Gus, how much do you weigh, huh?
240 pounds, 6'2".
All that meat and no vegetables. Except the cauliflower ear. You know, Terry, there's an ugly rumor going around that some professional wrestling matches are fixed. Is there anything to this?
Absolutely not. That's an ugly rumor.
How many ugly rumors have you wrestled in your time? Now let's play You Bet Your Life. If you can beat our other two couples in the quiz, you'll get a crack at the $1,000 question. Fenneman, remind our listeners how much the first couple won.
The newlyweds won $155.
Here we go. Let's see how high I can build you $20. What question category did you select?
Paper money.
Nicknames for paper money. Here's your first question. How much will you bet?
$5.
$5. How much money is a grand?
$1,000.
$1,000 is right.
They're on their way. They have $25.
Remember, you're going for $1,000 tonight. Now, how much of your $25 would you try?
Ten.
Ten? All right. How much money is a fin?
Five.
$5 is correct.
Now they have $35.
You now have $35, and here's your third question. How much of the $35 will you attempt?
Ten.
Ten.
Let's spend a little more.
Let's spend 25.
All right, 25. All right with you, Mary. How much money is the sawbuck?
$10.
$10 is correct.
They're on their way. They have $60.
All right, you've got $60. Here's your last chance to beat the other couples. How much of the 60 are you going to risk?
$50.
$50? Is that all right with you, Mary? All right, how much money is a case note?
How much money is a what?
A case note. C-A-S-E.
$50? No, it's $100.
No, I'm sorry. It's $1.
They wind up with $10.
Thanks and good luck from Elgin American Compacts. Now, in just 1 minute, our last couple will play You Bet Your Life, and then we know it gets a $1,000 question. Fenneman, now it's your turn.
All right, Groucho. Listen. Those are waves caressing the shores of Mallorca, the most romantic island in the Mediterranean. Here on Mallorca, after searching the corners of the world, Elgin American has found the most perfect pearls ever created by man. Pearls worthy of the Elgin American name. Now, these pearls can be yours. Rich, lustrous, glowing with a deep sea beauty all their own. Elgin American pearls are perfectly matched, superbly styled, with glamorous, luxurious clasps, and fashioned into wonderful single, double, and triple strand necklaces, as well as ropes, chokers, and graceful earrings. Presented in their beautiful jewel and gift boxes, Elgin American pearls are truly the most magnificent gift you can give or receive. Yet, prices start at just $2. The finest simulated pearls at any price. Buy them tomorrow. Treasure their opalescent beauty forever. Wear them proudly. For these are Elgin American Pearls.
Now then, we'll soon know who's going to earn the most money and get the chance at the $1,000 question. George, who's leading so far?
Well, the newlyweds are leading with $155. And here's our final couple. They've been in the waiting room offstage, so they don't know the secret word is chair. Our studio audience selected a druggist and a housewife to be next. And here they come. Mrs. Margaret Harvey and Mr. Quinton Snavely, meet Groucho Marx.
Welcome, folks. Welcome for Elgin American Compacts. If you say the secret word at any time we're talking, I'll hand over $100 in cash. It's a common word, something you'll find around the house. A druggist and a housewife, eh? Mr. Quinton Snavely?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. You're the druggist, I presume.
That's right, sir.
Where are you from, Doc?
Santa Monica.
Mrs. Margaret Harvey, what's your hometown?
Philadelphia.
Quentin, are you married?
Yes, I am.
My wife first became interested in me in a drugstore. She fell in love with my picture on a bottle of iodine. Now, aspirin tablet, as a druggist, just what do you do?
What do I do with an aspirin tablet?
No, what? Well, there are only so many things you can do with an aspirin tablet. I say, as a druggist, just what do you do?
I fill prescriptions.
Don't you sell anything besides drugs in your drugstore?
Oh, yes. We sell football tickets and...
That's a nice combination. Aspirin and football tickets, right?
And hot
water. Imagine a fella has arthritis and comes in and gets a football ticket, huh? What does your husband do, Mrs. Harvey?
He fills crates in a warehouse.
Fills crates in a warehouse? Fills them with what?
Well, anything they have there to fill them with.
Well, that seems like a pretty simple job. Just grab anything around there and throw it in a box. I don't think we're quite clear on this. After he fills these crates with this debris, what happens to these crates?
Well, they ship them out.
How did you meet him? Was he throwing you in one of the crates?
I met him in a cemetery.
You met him in a cemetery?
Yes.
He just went from one box to another. Well, tell me, Mrs. Harvey, was he alive when you met him?
Very much so.
What was this ghoul doing out there in the cemetery?
Well, he was a grave digger.
He sounds like a lot of fun, this kid. What What were you doing in the cemetery, Mrs. Harvey?
Well, I always made a shortcut to the cemetery.
You made a shortcut and ran into him?
I had a hobby of reading epitaphs.
You had a hobby of reading epitaphs?
Yes.
I mean, in the evening by the fire, you mean?
From work, I used to cut through there and I read the epitaphs.
I see.
Yes.
And? Was his name on one of them? Or... Well, that's a nifty way to start a romance. So, what was he doing?
Well, when I was reading on the epitaph, I saw the picture of this man, and he was a gruesome-looking fella, and I said, gee, you're ugly. And as that somebody says, so are you. And when I came to, there were three grave diggers standing around me.
Are you sure you weren't watching Hamlet? Huh?
Were explaining what had happened.
I see. They and you said, knocked him dead, huh?
There was one grave digger was in the grave eating his lunch when he...
That's what they call a box lunch. Huh? I'm going to lock my door tonight when I get home. So... I'm sorry to interrupt you. I'm not being rude. I'm just trying to find out more.
Well, when I did wake up, I was sitting in one of those chairs, you know, if they had in the cemetery.
Mrs. Harvey, you said chair, and that's the secret word, and that means you win $100 right now, and there it is. Congratulations. Now, where were we when the chair broke, huh?
He felt very sorry for what he had said to me.
And then he threw a wreath on you, I suppose? Doc, tell me, how much does your average prescription cost?
They start from 50 cents up, but the average prescription is about $2.
Mm-hmm. And how much do the ingredients cost you?
Brain seekers, 20 cents up.
What do you mean, up? Up to 22 and... You mean you have the nerve to charge $2 for something that only costs you 20 cents?
Well, we have our overhead to figure in, our rent, and the knowledge and experience in filling those prescriptions.
Well, that's a pretty big pill to swallow. You know, I've often wondered, how important is the soda fountain to a drugstore? Does it bring in much business?
Well, it brings in the trade, and they buy other things in the store.
Well, that sounds logical, I guess. After you have a pumpernickel sandwich on liverwurst, huh? And a banana split, they stagger over to the drug department and buy enough bicarbonate to cover the whole rent, I suppose. Well, I've got a prescription for both of you. Take now these gifts from our sponsor.
Mrs. Harvey, pearls for you. Elgin American's beautiful pearls. They're the finest pearls made by man, and I'm sure you're going to enjoy them.
They're beautiful.
And Druggist Snavely, the perfect gift for your wife. Elgin American's exclusive heart-shaped compact that's definitely different. It's jeweler's bronze that looks like gold.
That's the bestseller in our store,
really. Ha, there's a man.
Tell me, do you ever have emergencies in your drugstore other than your wife coming in and catching you shaking up a blonde for a bromo? I mean, shaking up a bromo for a blonde? Let's forget the whole thing, huh? Mrs. Harvey, what kind of first aid equipment do you keep around the house?
Oh, I have iodine, corn plasters, bunion plasters.
You have a lot of foot trouble, I take it, huh? That's some hot putting it through that cemetery. What else? Just iodine, corn plasters, foot plasters?
Well,
no arch supports?
I have headache powders.
Headache powders?
Yes.
I'd like to meet that husband of yours sometime. Are there any items missing from that list that she should have in her home, Mr. Snavely?
Well, she didn't mention a tourniquet, and everyone should have one.
Tourniquet, huh? You mean like a tennis tourniquet? What's a tourniquet? I don't know.
Well, a tourniquet is the apparatus that you put around the arm. No, full of blood.
It stops the blood? Is that good? I'm trying to get mine started and he's stopping it. What is that for? A snake bite?
That's right.
What does it cost?
It costs $4.95.
Just for a tourniquet?
No, that's part of a snake bite kit. That's the whole kit.
The whole kit? How old is the kid, huh? Now, Doc, suppose Mrs. Harvey came into your drugstore and told you she just had an argument with her husband and she wanted to buy 100 sleeping pills and a pound of arsenic. What would you do, huh?
I'd be suspicious.
You're a pretty shrewd cookie, Doctor. But tell me, would you sell it to her?
Not without a prescription.
I see. You have no objection to her knocking off her husband as long as she has a prescription. Well, you're a very interesting couple, and, Doc, I've been ribbing you druggist, but I didn't mean it, really. The druggist on the corner is an American institution. He's been keeping me hopping for years. Now, Mrs. Harvey and Doc, you're going to play your Bet Your Life, the Elgin American game, for $1,000. If you run your $20 and the more than the other couples, you get the chance. Big question later. I can't tell you how much they won, but George is off stage to remind our listeners.
The newlyweds are still ahead with $155.
Here we go. Let's see how high I can build you $20. What question category did you select?
Nursery rhymes.
Nursery rhymes. Yes. Well, you ought to be good at that after those obituaries and epitaphs. Eh? Now, here's your first question. How much will it be? How much are you going to bet?
$10.
$10? All right. How many bags of wool did the black sheep have? Take a guess.
Three.
Three is right. You got right enough to bet. Well, they're on their way with $30. You sneaked in under the wire that time. Now, remember, you're going for $1,000 tonight. How much of your $30 will you try?
We'll try,
$20.
What was the name of the kid that ran around town in his nightshirt, rapping at windows to see if all the other kiddies were in bed? Take a guess. The bell is tolled. I'm sorry. It was Wee Willie Winkie.
Oh. They now have $10.
That is a pretty tough one. Now, here's your third question. You have $10 left. How much are you going to try now?
We'll bet $5.
What was Miss Muffet eating when the spider frightened her? What
was she? Curds and whey.
Curds and whey is right, huh?
Well, they're on their way again. They have $15.
Here's your last chance to beat the other couple. How much of the 15 are you going to try?
10, all right, 10.
What skinny guy could eat no fat?
Jack Sprat.
Jack Sprat could eat no fat.
And they wind up with a grand total of $25. And that means the newlyweds with $155 get the chance at the $1,000 question.
The name Elgin American means the very finest quality, designing, finish, and craftsmanship. The best value in exquisite compacts, gorgeous simulated pearls, magnificent dresser sets, magic action lighters, wondrous lighter cases, distinguished cigarette cases, handsome military sets, fascinating musical humidors. Your favorite store has a complete assortment of the newest Elgin American styles right now. See them. And for your own proud use, for thrilling prestige gifts, always buy Elgin American. And here's the winning couple, Groucho, the newlyweds.
Well, back again to try for $1,000, eh? Good luck. I'll give you 15 seconds to decide on a single answer between you, so talk it over thoroughly and no help in the audience, please. Think of your map now. Which of the 48 states extends the closest to the North Pole? Which state of the 48? What answer have you two decided upon?
Wisconsin.
No, I'm sorry. The correct answer is the Lake of the Woods projection in Minnesota is the northernmost point in the United States. So that question next week will be worth $1,500.
But for beating the other couples, Groucho, they receive the new amazing Apollo 16mm movie projector to show Hollywood sound movies and moving pictures you take yourself.
And in addition, you receive those lovely gifts from Elgin American and you won $155 in cash. That makes it a very profitable evening all around. Congratulations and thanks to both of you.
The Elgin American Show, You Bet Your Life, is a John Goodell production. Transcribed from Hollywood, directed by Bob Dwan and Bernie Smith. Music by Jerry Fielding. Remember, next week's big question pays $1,500. Be sure to tune in again next Wednesday night at this time for You Bet Your Life, starring Groucho Marx, presented by the creators of America's most beautiful compacts, smartest cigarette cases, and finest dresser sets, Elgin American.
Good night, folks. Have you looked at your compact lately? We'll be right back.
thank you for listening to Ricky Jin's Old Time Radio. Join us again next week at the same time on the Mighty KONR. Don't forget to play What Will Mrs. Thompson Say at lgab.com.